Listen to part of a lecture in a literature class.
One of the most important things to consider about literature is how the writer tells his or her story. There are numerous methods, aspects, and nuances in writing, and each combination can be used for different effects in the mind of the reader. First off, every story must have at least one narrator of some kind. I want to start by giving you all an important cautionary note. The narrator and the author are not the same thing. Do not talk about the feelings of the author if you mean the feelings of the narrator. While these may often be one and the same, they may often not be as well. An author may give his or her narrator opinions, characteristics, political orientations, or predilections that are different from his or her own. He or she may be doing this to make a specific point. If you believe the narrator is in fact the author, then look for specific evidence in the text to support this belief. Do not start off by simply assuming it. Moving on, the term point of view of the story gets used quite often and can be very vague. Usually, people mean one of two things. The first thing they might mean is the role of the narrator in the story itself. This is the distinction between first-person and third-person narrative. Also, is the narrator an all-knowing voice outside of the story? Or is the narrator a character experiencing the story along with us? The second way people use the term point of view is to describe the way that the narrator treats the actions, characters, and issues in the story. Is the narrator rooting for the hero? Is the narrator sympathizing with the psychologically disturbed and misunderstood protagonist? Is the narrator making fun of the characters? These devices or methods could also be described as the narrator's point of view. I guess I should mention, for the sake of those who are unfamiliar with first and third person narratives, just what these are. A first person narrative is a story told by one character. So the narrative sections of the text have lots of "I said," or "I saw," or "I did" in them. In third-person narratives, well, since quite a few of the texts that we will read in this course are written as third-person narratives, I want to go into a bit more detail about this particular form of narrative. The basic third-person omniscient narrator is called the external narrator. Another term that you might run across is the non-focalized point of view. This narrator has access to all of the characters' minds and all of the events in the story, so there is no single focus or focal point. The reader gets a God's eye view of the action. This is often used to give the reader more knowledge than the characters have themselves, so readers can see things developing along a path that they know something about the end of. Technically, this is called a position of irony, knowing and seeing things about a story that certain characters don't know. So, the external narrator puts the reader in a position of irony. But the external narrator can also put the reader in a position of suspense. This means the narrator only gives the reader as much knowledge as the characters. This is useful for throwing a few surprises at the reader and also brings up the issue of the second reading of the book. The reader can go back and reread a suspense novel with full knowledge of the story. So, you can see, a writer's intention for telling a story in a certain way may be short-circuited in some way by readers. It's an interesting problem. Anyway, since most of you will be reading the stories I've assigned for the semester for the first time, we'll be looking for examples of how writers utilize this position of suspense in their writing. A third point about external narrators: we can characterize the external narrator with the concepts of drama and reactivity. A dramatized narrator puts in his or her own two cents. I mean, he or she comments on the story as it is happening, giving his or her opinions, hopes, grievances, etc. This, of course, can severely influence the reader and inhibit readers' abilities to see the story through their own eyes. However, this in itself may be a planned effect by the writer. There are, of course, some more complicated techniques available in external narration. such as embedded narratives. A good example of that comes from Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. In Frankenstein, the narrator begins the story. Then, Dr. Frankenstein begins telling a story within that story. Later, the monster tells his story within Dr. Frankenstein's story.
Number 31. What is the talk mainly about? Number 32. What are three ideas related to external narrators mentioned in the lecture? Choose three answers. Number 33. What does the professor say about stories with third-person narration? Number 34. Listen again to part of the lecture, then answer the question.
The basic third-person omniscient narrator is called the external narrator. Another term that you might run across is the non-focalized point of view.
What does the speaker mean? Number 35. Why does the speaker mention the book Frankenstein? Number 36. With what narration type are these details associated? Click in the correct column.